Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Here's the Crack podcast. Gonna just go straight in. Aaron.
What's
the crack with Kate Middleton, hey?
What's happened?
Where the fuck is she?
This week. So, the backstory is Kate Middleton has been ever so slightly missing for quite a long time.
She was in hospital.
And
you can't just say she's missing, like.
Well,
what if the BBC? What if the BBC come and fucking blow us up? Like?
Speculation.
Speculation.
It's been speculated that Kate Middleton
that's
is
the word.
Doing some Gunning. Stuff that she's not really being upfront about.
What do you mean?
So she's doing stuff now.
A good few months ago, she was in hospital. Okay, yeah. She was in hospital and she was. Fuck me, you throw me off. I'm going
to
redo that.
What about, was it something to do with, like, she was getting a gastric surgery or something?
Yes, she was
speculation.
Okay, yeah, so someone a few months ago, Kate Middleton was in hospital getting something done with her abdominal area.
All right.
In some sort of surgery. And it was around the same time the King was in hospital as well. There was no pictures of Kate Middleton, as far as I'm aware, leaving the hospital, and she hasn't been pictured since.
Mm-hmm.
Until now. But, so recently a picture was taken of Kate Middleton. It was for International Women's Day, or was it Mother's Day?
Mother's Day,
It was for Mother's Day. They were both very close together this year.
Oh, yeah.
But it was for Mother's Day, and people instantly noticed that she wasn't wearing a wedding ring.
Oh, no.
And then people then also quickly noticed that if you zoom in even a little tiny bit, there's about 400 really bad Photoshop edits in it as well.
Yeah.
So, what's going on there?
Did she release a statement, or did the royal family release a statement? Kate, anyway.
She put up a tweet.
She basically put up a tweet to say, sorry, but like basically I'm experimenting with Photoshop.
Yes.
Kate Middleton does not use Photoshop. Let's just hit that nail right on the head. Like,
no way.
So the Princess of Wales, or Kate Middleton, apparently is an amateur photographer and is dabbling in Photoshop. So what they're saying is this photo, which doesn't have her wedding ring in it and has a whole pile of really bad Photoshop edits, is actually a result of Kate trying to doctor the photo and doing a very bad job of it. Now, just to throw out a couple of facts here. Previously, Kate and William have provided their own photos to the press before. So this isn't something that's totally out of the ordinary. For Father's Day, for example, the Prince of Wales actually did provide his own photoshopped photo to the press. Now, we know it's definitely been photoshopped because they looked into the metadata of the images.
So what? They did,
yes. And they can confirm.
So you can look into metadata and know that a photo's been photoshopped?
Yeah. So.
Oh no, love that. They're going to read it.
There was a version of it saved from Photoshop, definitely from Photoshop and definitely on a MacBook Pro on the 8th of March. At around 10 o'clock, and another time on the 9th of March at around 9:30 in the morning. And
she's up early.
Then man. Again, actually, at 11:30 on the 10th of March. So it was saved from Photoshop on a MacBook Pro at least 3 times.
The evidence that you're bringing up here is madly. You went proper in depth. Like.
Now, the one thing I'm kind of like, what do you guys think? Because the one thing I'm kind of like is, there's no way that, I'm just sort of thinking, there's no, like, where we work, there's better processes on things going out. So why, when it comes down to the royal family, who are very wealthy and have a massive team running the show, how could they even allow something so badly edited to go out?
Yeah.
So is it a conspiracy? Is it to hide something else?
So what I'd love to know is, so she's went in for this adult. So no one's seen her since like, was it Christmas Day? Like Christmas?
Around then,
because she was at a church service with the rest of the family.
Yeah.
What?
She has actually been photographed today.
With her mother?
With her husband.
Oh.
The Prince of Wales.
Ah, nice.
And was it Photoshop?
Today we're recording this on Tuesday the 12th, so pretty fresh news.
It's just invalid now.
Not really. They don't look very happy in the car.
But is she wearing a wedding ring?
Yeah. The theory I've heard is she had some sort of gastric surgery, and apparently if it goes wrong, it's known to like send people into like proper deep depression for like 12 months.
Yeah.
Right.
So she was seen, apparently she was seen after the surgery or whatever with her mum in a car.
Mm-hmm.
But this is just speculation. I don't really, like, what's the big deal? Like,
I think it's just like
she got
disappearance and then followed up by a sketchy photo of her.
Yeah. I sure they got anything to be at, like.
Apart from a surgery.
like it's not like the fucking government's falling apart about them. Like.
Do you want to know what it is? I think it's because, like, diehard, like, royals love her. Like. And I would say the whole, and then people, like, how many times on a yearly basis do you hear about, like, Diana?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They'll just, this is their source of entertainment. Like.
Do you think this could lead to like a similar thing to like Harry and Meghan, where like the two of them are like, what the fuck, just leave us alone?
Mm. No.
Possibly, but the difference is they are the direct heirs to the throne.
Mm. Yeah.
That's going to be, if everything stays the same, they're going to be the king and queen.
And they are the king's not in a good way.
They are in mad, do you know what I mean? Deep, they are in mad deep. Like,
they're on the express train.
Who's next
king
in line?
And queen.
Is it the wee fella or is it?
The wee fella.
Yeah.
So the next in line from the king is William and Kate. After that, it's
George. Be one of the
George.
Kids,
it's George. It's George. And then the next kid, which is Charlotte. Then the next kid, which is Louis. Then after that, Harry.
Yeah.
That's Harry. Mad, like.
Yeah. It's not fair.
It's not mad.
Should be Harry.
Could you imagine him going to school when he's a teenager and like he's like, I'm going to be the king of England one day.
Yeah. King of the castle.
King of the castle. King of the
castle. I have a chair.
Imagine pissing him off and he's like, see you. I'd be passing the bill
to the dungeon with you.
You bastard.
I'll remember you when I'm getting the flipping machete out. Bring it back, beheading.
Why?
Beheading to the hospital.
So like, what's the crack here? Like, is...
So, I didn't hear the thing about the depression thing, which is, I mean, we're working purely on speculation here. I heard about the whole, like, oh, she just, like, she's, the surgery went wrong and they just haven't been photographing her. But then I'm also in your boat. It's like, why is it?
I do get, why, like, do they obviously care? The like, British love her, like, and they're obsessed with the royals, but I just don't really... Like, did William come out and say anything about it all? Like, is he just kept quiet?
Yeah, there was kind of two statements. So William kind of just iterated what Kate said, and it was kind of just like a, we both are amateur photographers. So he said he actually took the photo, and they used Photoshop from previous images. So they used previous images to Photoshop. So, for example, they changed the hand, apparently, and they started moving stuff.
But
around.
Even, like, the hands of the kids and all are fucked up.
Why are they using
like?
Previous images, though? Like, what's wrong with their hands?
I don't know. It's maybe just the typical thing where why people use filters. Maybe they just maybe Kate was just like, I'm going to make this photo look slightly nicer. That it could be as simple as that. It also could be a ploy to distract from the fact that people have been talking about her for quite a long time now about the depression thing.
Bad and, time to do it, Kate, though.
And the funniest thing was, people were talking about, are they splitting up? That is something that people were talking about because they weren't seen with each other. She's depressed. She's very visibly unhappy in the photos that were taken of her beforehand.
So I seen a conspiracy theory today, which further deepens the whole thing. So there was a photo taken of Kate Middleton for a Vogue cover. And apparently, if you take that photo and like pretty much match it up to the photo for Mother's Day, it's like symmetrically exactly the same.
See, that's what I heard. I heard like the image is actually all edited. Like, yeah. Like the photo's taken from her that the shoot.
Yeah.
But apparently, like that, like the if you look at the photo of the kids as well, like they're like one of them, like the end of the jumper's all weird.
Yeah.
And the finger, one of the boys is like proper cut off.
But where I would go a layer deeper in this conspiracy, where I don't know if it's exactly a conspiracy on Kate or more just they're lighting a fire in point A to distract from a massive wildfire at point B. That would be my
speculation. So you think they've murdered her and now they're going to come out with a case afterwards?
I'll see if I can put this on the video version. If I can't, I do apologise, but... We're currently watching a sort of like an opacity change between the Vogue cover. It's literally the cover of Vogue.
This is the exact same photo.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same. If that is If that's not the same photo, that's insane. Yeah.
But this is what I don't understand is, like, I agree with you. Surely there's a massive team behind the royal family going, do you know what, Kate? Yeah, I appreciate you dabble in Photoshop, but also, like me, myself, I dabble in archery. Doesn't make me freaking Robin Hood. So you leave the, you know, you leave the photo editing to the professionals.
I could believe that they provide their own photos. I could believe that because they're going to want a normal life. Do you want a photographer following you everywhere, every single day of your life? Mm. Probably not. So I could believe that they provide their own photos. What I can't believe is, sort of touching on what you just said, is that there wasn't someone before it was posted to the royal family Instagram or wherever the hell it went that didn't go, well, that looks fucking terrible. Yeah. And you're not wearing a wedding ring while everyone's talking about you divorcing your husband.
Publicity.
You know, why did nobody look at it?
Is there even someone that would be in place to check that stuff?
Oh, 100%. Like, they have to have publicity. PR people, like, have to. But then this is where my speculation comes from. Is it on purpose? Like, are they distracting from something else that's happening? I don't know. But then I don't care enough as well to...
Would it have been the worst thing in the world if she just didn't post anything on Mother's Day?
Exactly. Mm. Well, and then people would have kept speculating. Damned if you do, and damned if you don't.
I haven't really heard about any of it until now, to the Photoshop thing.
I think they came out and said she was due a return to the public in May or something, wasn't it? Before Easter, and this was sort of a rushed...
It's not a movie premiere.
This was like the rushed sort of, oh, we need to get a photo out of her, like, so the stuff's this out.
It's like she's out on injury.
I know.
Keith now Middleton has been pictured training for the first time in 4 months.
Picked up another injury in training now.
I just think there's something else going on. Classic.
But it would be hard, like, say she's like going through depression or whatever, and then it's just constant pressure of like, when is she going to be out again? Like, we can't see her. She doesn't look happy. Yeah. She's fucking got depression. Like, what do you want from me?
I know. It must be mad to just be in the public eye all the time. Like, I mean, we can hardly walk through Belfast, so you're not doing it. But well, speaking of photo manipulation and media manipulation, I want to discuss this Sora thing, particularly, Aaron, as yourself, you are a video manager, a video editor, a videographer, a video guy.
Lots of titles, one man.
So basically, for those of you, I'll put this in like really plain, simple English. For those of you, I'm sure, who are aware of ChatGPT. For those of you who aren't aware, ChatGPT is pretty much AI. You go in, prompt it to do something, and it does it for you. So lots of people can complete uni assignments using it. Lots of people can generate, for example, in our jobs, most people could probably generate like marketing campaign strategies for it from it. You basically just prompt it and it does what you need it to do.
It is just text, though.
And it's just for text. Now, the people have been experimenting with AI imagery, which I'm sure a lot of people have saw. There was a big thing out recently where people were using AI imagery to generate some...
Will Smith eating spaghetti?
...unpleasant images of Taylor Swift, which went a bit viral. But now we've went a step further. OpenAI has taught AI to understand and simulate the physical world in motion, with the goal of training models that help people solve problems that require real-world interactions. So OpenAI have produced this branch off of their AI called Sora, and basically it will, if you prompt it to do something via text, it will then translate it to video. Now, this was something that they tried and tested. Shay just touched on it there a while ago, and it was like Will Smith eating spaghetti. Yeah. And it was an absolute hash. Yes. You knew it was computer generated.
He was the spaghetti at some point.
Now, this one is mad because it has come on leaps and bounds to the point where maybe if the video version, I'll get Aaron to throw like a quick snippet of a video generated by AI into the video version. So if you're listening to this in the car or on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and
pull
if
your
you're
phone out and look at the video right now. While you're
pull
driving.
The car over on the hard shoulder. This couldn't be more important. No, joking. If you get time, go look at it. Now, bearing in mind, a lot of people, when they're reading this article, know that they're looking for an AI-generated video, which is my concern. So people, when they're reading this, they're like, oh, it's so obviously AI. Like, there's a guy in the background, and he's not really walking. He's gliding, and you can see, like, pixelation on the woman's face. Basically, the one I'm looking at is this stylish Asian woman walking down a Tokyo street, and you can kind of see her face is like kind of pixelated and stuff. But the point that I made, actually was talking about this to another fella a week or two ago, you know, you're looking at an AI video, so you're looking for flaws.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you didn't know you were looking at an AI video and say you saw it scrolling in social media, mm-hmm. you wouldn't know the difference, which concerns me slightly. But what I wanted to ask was, Aaron, your living is based around generating video and editing video.
Not for long.
What's your thoughts on this? Because I know we've chatted about like different things before, like Canva and
CapCut,
and you are very much an advocate as to against them.
You're against Canva. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not really against Canva and CapCut.
I'm against
me using Canva and CapCut. But it's good.
Would
for
you
people.
Class someone who uses CapCut that a video as a videographer? If they filmed and edited in CapCut?
I think it would be hard to class them as a professional videographer, but videographer is not a protected term.
Do you know how that's the way it's going, though?
No.
But there's a lot more depth than like using proper software compared to CapCut. Like.
I know, but it's such a broad term. I just find even like in the likes of marketing, like people, if you're looking like social stuff, like people would just be like editing stuff in like Canva now.
Yeah,
especially for static, like that's what we use in work as Canva. Like,
it's handy. Like, if it's simple sort of editing, like it's probably one of the most handiest way. But
say is you can tell a difference. You can absolutely tell the difference between something that was made in Canva and something that wasn't made in Canva. CapCut's a bit different because it's an editor. It's a wee bit different. It does hold you back a little bit. It doesn't give you we kind of tangent here, but like very quickly, it does kind of hold you back a wee bit. It doesn't give you the depth that everything else has. At the end of the day, a professional videographer and a professional filmmaker is going to be able to do 10 times more than somebody who isn't trained, no matter how easy the app that you're using is, because it's not just about the practicalities of it. It's the what you're doing, how you do it, and the tricks of the trade and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
There is things. They were saying that YouTube was going to be the death of TV. That's not happening. TV's maybe not as popular as it was, but TV certainly isn't going anywhere anytime soon, and this is exactly the same in my opinion. Over to AI.
Mm-hmm.
We use AI in this podcast. Actually, we use AI to help me edit. We can move into that. I'll very quickly discuss what I mean by that. I think it's a very good tool. I don't think it's going to replace me, for example. At the end of the day, you're still going to need somebody to operate it. And I think it's about how you use things. We use AI to edit the podcast, for example, to cut between these two cameras here. And AI actually cuts depending on who's speaking. It's a very simple AI, and it works really well, and it saves me about 4 hours every podcast, which is perfect. That's exactly what we need. Now, this AI is different, and I'm fully aware of what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's creating videos out of nothing. Now, for those who are listening, I did quotation marks.
The ray tracing and all.
Oh, yeah.
That's mad.
It's unbelievable. Like,
I see there, that's cool.
This is something that I wouldn't have even imagined a year ago, never mind 10 years ago.
It's cool, but it's also very scary.
It's scary, but for reasons different than what you suggested to me.
I think it's a good job for the likes of stock footage and shit, you know.
Yeah.
But you can't, like, you're not going to be typing in, like, a prompt to make a full movie anytime soon, like.
Yeah.
There's also something slightly uncanny about it. Like, I know for you were saying if you scroll past it, you could be convinced.
Yeah.
But when you look at pretty much all of them, there is something a wee bit uncanny about it all. Like,
yeah.
The animation-y things are perfect, but like,
that's a joke.
I find that a lot of them, the motion blurs off. It's almost too smooth,
yeah,
where it's unrealistic, or too motion blurry, where it's just a bit like, what the fuck. I think it'll get to the point where it's almost perfect.
Yeah,
yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's being made from something else. It's not like it hasn't created it out of thin air.
Yeah.
It analyzes videos and it creates videos from other videos. Kind of, that's a very simplistic.
So will that cause like copyright issues as well?
No. Everything you make in OpenAI is yours, copyright wise. What it does is it looks at the data of other videos. It doesn't technically steal them, but it'll go and it'll look at, say you type in truck driving down a dirt path on a mountainside, right? Which is what I'm currently watching here now.
Generated by AI.
Generated by AI. And you type that in and generate it. What the AI will do, this is very simplistic, what the AI will do is it will go onto the internet and look at Land Rovers driving down a dirt path on the side of a mountain. It'll look at the data and the metadata of that and how it's meant to look. And then it'll recreate that data. Which is why it kind of looks a bit uncanny, because it doesn't really work perfectly. But it looks pretty good, to be honest. But that's how it works. So it's not like it's stealing other people's content, but it's looking at other people's content and sort of photocopying about 400 different videos and merging it into one sort of thing.
It's using inspiration. It's not legalese inspiration.
That's what it's doing. I don't think it will be overly much use for what I do.
But so I think where I watched a guy talking about it the other night, and he himself was a videographer, and he basically said for him, he's so excited for it because he, same thing with you, I don't think it will replace people because it's just it's impossible. Like, we all had this conversation about ChatGPT, and yes, you could argue it could replace people within the workforce. Like, I know copywriting is such a big thing. It could, like, you could, you know, ask ChatGPT to write you an email of, you know, promoting a certain product, and it could probably spit out something pretty detailed. And it's good for smaller businesses. You maybe can't afford to pay the guts of 30 grand for a copywriter, which is fair. But, or 30 grand or over, that's just my speculation of a normal wage. But the thing that I was quite interested in was this guy, and I think you said it to me the other night, which probably, like, so you were chatting to me about a video idea, and it basically involved, like, you said, like, an FPV drone. And I was thinking, like, if you didn't have access to, and let's say you were transitioning from, like, a video game of someone driving a go-kart, and then it transitioned to an FPV drone shot of someone in a go-kart, if you didn't have that luxury and you needed that, like, 2 seconds of B-roll footage, you could probably prompt Sora to do that for you and get away with it, which will help you with your job.
If we lost the footage for a podcast, we don't use the audio and build that footage again, and
I assume
would that work?
I mean, you can only make it a minute at a time, but will we just try and...
Clip.
Is it only a minute you can do for a footage?
You can do a maximum of a minute at a time.
It's interesting.
You can get it to change shots. Have you got it? Unbelievable.
Yeah.
No, I've not tried it. I don't even know if you can.
I think at the minute... At the minute I looked at this, so...
Is it like the pro version of it?
That would be cool to do.
So... At the minute, capability-wise, Sora is becoming available to red teamers to assess critical areas for harms or risks. We are also granting access to a number of visual artists, designers, and filmmakers to gain feedback on how to advance the model to be the most helpful for creative professionals. We're sharing our research progress early to start working on getting feedback from people outside of OpenAI and to give the public a sense of what AI is capable for on the horizon.
What would I use it for? So, wee bit of background. My job, I make adverts a lot of the time. It's not the only thing I do, but I make a lot of adverts. If I had an advert that required say it was a local beer, and it was based on, like, it was really like a Coors Light type thing, where it's all mountain rangey and it's all like alpine and all the rest of it, and I wanted to film that, and I wanted a big establishing shot of
a mountain
Everest, right? I could get stock footage. Now, what would I prefer to do? I would prefer to get stock footage. Now, I'm not going to go over to the Alps and film something for one shot. Not a chance in hell. I'll get stock footage. But sometimes your stock is limited. You're not always going to get exactly what you're looking for. Mm-hmm. If I didn't find what I was looking for, I would go into Sora and I would get it to create me a mountain range. And a sort of, whatever the shot was, let's say it was a track forward and sort of look down at the ground and then into the mountain range to, like, reveal the mountain range. I would get it to do that, and then I would use it as a wide establishing shot. That, to me, that's the only way I would use it right now.
It's essentially then just a B-roll generator?
Yeah. I would use it for, it's a cutaway generator to me.
Yeah.
And usually only for establishing sort of things.
They've started bringing in the architecture as well now, I've noticed. With rendering, but it's one of them things that's not really there yet. I've seen people use it on like SketchUp. So SketchUp's basically you make like a 3D model on it. So you could make like a 3D model of just like, say, four blocks just sitting there, and then you hit the AI tool and it'll render it into Windows. You pick your style, like if you want a like skyscraper sort of building or stuff like that there, and it'll just like develop this little block into a building, make it look like a building with windows and stuff. But I think the thing with like bringing it into architecture, like those models and stuff that architects do, they're very specific. Every single window has to be accounted for. Whereas the AI is just slapping, like trying to make it look good. Like it's not,
yeah,
it's not a detailed render really. It's just a photo of a random building. It's of no use really to anyone. Like, but it's interesting to see it coming up. Like, it probably might be a help in the future. Like, if they do work on it a bit more.
I use AI in my job purely for like, I'll admit it, I use AI purely for like inspiration.
Yeah.
So like, if I'm stuck on something for half an hour creatively, like a campaign, or you know, like a, you know, we have this campaign coming up, you know, give me some ideas for social clips, for emails, like just to get the cogs turning. And then I would take stuff like that into a team meeting and go, right, guys, you know, a couple of examples of this is, but can we start brainstorming? I wouldn't rely on it to do my job, because I would feel like 4 years of uni and a couple of years of experience down the drain. Do you use it for your job, Tommy?
Oh, geez, it's sometimes, like, it's just like you say, like sometimes for inspiration, sometimes like mostly if like you have product descriptions and all, just to like summarize it and like narrow it down into like copy. But like it's just it does come out with sort of a lot of the similar stuff, a lot of the similar like adjectives and stuff when you're like looking copy off it. But it is good, like you say, just to like
build foundations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So The other concern that a lot of people have around this open AI stuff is obviously the safety behind it. So we've seen it before in the AI generated images that a lot of people were misusing it and generating images that were explicit of people, etc. So basically the OpenAI have basically said that they're taking several important safety steps ahead of Megan Sora available in OpenAI's product portfolio. They're working with red teamers, domain experts in areas like misinformation, hateful content, and bias, who will adversarially be testing the model. So pretty much I think that loosely translates to we're not going to release it until we are 100% happy that people cannot manipulate it, because there will be people out there who will misuse it for and not what it's meant to be.
I would definitely advocate for it not to be to even if you're able, if technically you're able to, I would definitely say that you should not be able to be specific with it. Mm-hmm. So you shouldn't be able to go planting a bomb in Victoria Square, for example.
Yeah.
It's pretty out there, like
Kate Middleton sitting in a garden with three kids.
Yeah. But you know what I mean?
With no wedding ring.
I think that's probably the easiest way to police that,
yeah,
is to not allow the specificity. To be specific about it. You know, not to be able to do things like that. Mm-hmm. And like,
because of its potential, are you?
But I don't think it's potential that we would need.
Yeah, you have to look at what,
you have to weigh it up. I think that would be the sort of view of a lot of people going, well, what about the potential of it? And it's sometimes maybe we shouldn't be allowed to do something.
Sometimes you just need to be told no,
and that,
absolutely
and
not.
That would be something I would advocate for. A few years ago, Adobe created I don't know if you would consider it AI. I suppose you would. They created a thing where you could select anybody, as long as there was enough audio footage and video footage of them, and type something in, and it would create an audio bite of them saying it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was banned by most countries in the world, saying that this cannot go public, and Adobe said we will never make this public.
Well, sure, you see that now. You ever seen them TikTok clips where people have manipulated like celebrities' voices to get them to promote product? Like a good one was, and I actually don't know if this was 100%, maybe it was actually him, but your guy Andrew Huberman, there was a massive one going around to him promoting the Jawsicizer. So this thing that you just flipping bit.
Oh yeah.
Like, and it was meant to enhance your jawline.
But did he not do that on a podcast?
I don't know. I can't remember. But then even there was one of there was another one I seen the other week of KSI promoting a product.
Q Radio were using it on International Women's Day that morning. They were getting the likes of like Barack Obama to ring in, Taylor Swift and all, playing it over the radio. Like, obviously it wasn't them, like, but they were fucking good. Like,
yeah,
like you wouldn't have been able to tell the difference.
Martin Lewis got done with something like that. Like,
yeah,
he's basically like an AI video of him was created, like telling people that, like, I don't know if it was invest, but he basically giving them financial advice, and people were taking it. And it was a scam.
Yeah,
yeah. Danger, so, danger.
Look out for it, people. But I'm interested to see where it goes. I'm interested to see when it comes out what we could potentially do with it, maybe on this podcast. Could we do some cool stuff? I don't know. But
maybe we could just write a podcast and then not have to film it anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. We'll move on anyway. Shay.
Boy.
Yeah.
So it is the week of Cheltenham.
Cheltenham.
Any bets on, boys?
I have no bets on myself.
I've never bet on the horses once in my life.
I mean, I did.
No.
They took me to Galway races for the first time.
It's a great thrill.
In my life.
I would love to go to the Galway races. You know, I would remember that time it was his home stag and you were betting on the horses. I nearly did. But then I don't know why, but I didn't.
Yeah, it's good crack. Like, but then as long as you're not getting carried away with it, like, it's good. It's fun in games until you lose the house.
When the fun stops.
Stop.
Where I found it entertaining was you took me to the Galway races. That's the first time I'd ever been in a horse race. First time I'd really ever done like the betting. Remember the first bet I put on? Put like €10 on, €160.
Yeah.
And I'd arrive with €120. Put like €10 on, won like a good like €60. It was like a good, I remember, it was the first race. I remember going, do you flip? Like, I've. Then I just got cocky and came away when I hung up.
Was it 6-1, was it?
Yeah.
Or 5-1, maybe?
Easy dubs. You always win your first one, though. Like.
Yeah.
It's all downhill from there. So, Cheltenham started Tuesday, and as this is being released on a Thursday, will be ending tomorrow, so the Gold Cup race will be tomorrow. Last year's Gold Cup winner was Galloping Des Champs, owned by Willie Mullins. Yeah, Willie Mullins. And read by Paul Townsend. So I've got the prize money of what the winners will win. So there's a pot. So the first five places will get money for it. So first place gets $351,000 for winning.
Fuck.
Second, $130,000. Third, $66,000. Fourth, $33,000. And fifth, sixth place, just for winning one race. But of that, the jockeys, actually the person who rides the horse, if you don't know, only come away with about 8-9%, whereas the trainers get the other bit of the other 92% or whatever it is. But also obviously they have to consider like feeding the horses, looking after them, washing, taking care of transport, all that shit.
So the winner would be in like say $28,000 maybe?
The winner, yeah. So the total is 3,500. Yeah, 350,000. So the jockey might get $30,000 or so for it. Like, do you think that's fair though?
That's a year's wages for some people. Like.
Yeah, depends how many times a year you're doing
it. The thing is too, like, they could be in six races that day, like a jockey.
Yeah.
And be running, like, they're not all that prize money. They might win like a couple of thousand if they win it, like. But winning the Gold Cup, they could win maybe 30, 40K. Like. Yeah.
It's like the Champions League racing as well, like.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not just the money, it's like,
it's one of the big ones, like.
Yeah.
But it's not actually the biggest one. So I found some of the biggest prize pools in racing, so we'll start with number three, which is the Everest. So it's 6 furlong race in the Australian, it's an Australian sprint race.
Fuck.
And it's got a purse of $15 million, so that's split between the first five finishers in the race. Number two, Dubai World Cup, so
some money there, hey.
15
$12 million is the prize pot in that one. It's number two. And then number one, the Saudi Cup. So Dubai have the two top two, which $20 million is split. So the winner in the Saudi Cup wins about £10 million. $10 million. Fucking mental. So some of the big things to be looking out for during Cheltenham is the rivalry. So England versus Ireland.
Mm.
So Ireland have been a lot more successful than, well, Great Britain versus Ireland. So Ireland have been a lot more successful in the past years. So this they've actually started a cup for this back in 2014. They called it the Pressbury Cup. So it's an annual competition. And out of, what's that, 14 years? Where did I put that? Oops, lost it. Sorry. Yeah, so the Pressbury Cup is an annual competition between Great Britain and Ireland to see which country produces more winners at Cheltenham Festival. The first two editions of the race were won by the home nation, but since then Ireland have won the cup 7 out of 8 times, with the 2019 contest finishing in a 14-14 tie. So not surprisingly, Ireland are 1-16 to lift the cup this year, and Great Britain are 20-1.
20-1?
Yeah.
That's a serious difference, that, like.
Yeah. The horse racing's a lot better in Ireland, I suppose, at the minute now. So I've tossed you.
Oh.
Who are you picking as your winner for the Gold Cup tomorrow?
Out of Ireland and England?
No, out of the race. So I sent you the runners and riders yesterday.
Oh, did you?
You're supposed to have this fucking picked.
I went to bed early.
Was this on WhatsApp?
Yeah, on WhatsApp. So while you're picking them, I'll give you a bit of insight on things to look out for whenever you're picking a horse. So one thing a lot of people don't know about is the form. So to read the form, it's basically a set of numbers to the left-hand side of the name of the horse. So say there's like 6 numbers ranging from like 1 to 10.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the places that it has finished in its previous races.
Yeah.
So you start from the right. So say that's 1. That means it's finished first in its last race. And then the one before that's the race before that, and so on. But there's also different aspects of it. There may be like letters. For example, F means it fail. U, unseated the rider. R, refused to race. O, ran out. B, brought down. So some of the things to take into consideration whenever you're picking your horse.
Right.
For the winner, who have you got? Hit me with some names.
Talk through who you've got.
Well, last year's winner was Galloping Des Champs. So, are they running again this year? Challenge Go Cup 2020.
Untouchable in last year's race and will likely be sent off a short-priced favourite again.
Yeah.
This year.
So, likely winner is Galloping Des Champs, isn't it? Willie Mullins. Irish horse. He's been there, done it before, so...
I'm going to
start off as one of the favourites, but...
I'm going to pick Gentleman's Game.
It's no fun picking the favourite.
I'm going to pick Gentleman's Game.
Is it only...
good odds? Well, pretty bigger odds, 16-1.
16-1? Fuck, big shot.
But...
should we put on a bet? Everyone throwing a tenner, winner gets it.
Hey! So, the reason why I'm picking Gentleman's Game is because I know in Galway, I went for, like...
just pick a name you like. That's my biggest.
Well, if I was gonna pick a name I like, there's what was that one called?
I think Shishkin.
Jungle Boogie. Jungle Boogie.
50-1.
50-1. No bah.
I think Shishkin. I think Great Britain are going to take it back this year. Trainer's Nicky Henderson is an English trainer. It is an Irish horse.
What about the Real Whacker? 33-1.
I'm gonna go for the Real Whacker. That's what I'm gonna bet on. Loads of different reasons.
4 stars, whatever that means.
4-star rating.
Yeah.
Great horse.
Because he's 4 stars, whatever that means. It's fucking amazing odds. Well, not amazing odds in terms of winning, but amazing odds if you do win.
I gotta go.
And 13's my lucky number.
Oh. There you go.
So there you go. He's also won a couple of times, so you know.
Stick a bet on it, I don't know.
Here's the crack on. Betting game. Yeah. Who have you got?
How to get demonetized on YouTube in 5 seconds.
I'll put 60 grand on that.
I'm going to go Shishkin.
Money.
Who have you got?
I'm going to go for Gentleman's Game.
So Shishkin, Gentleman's Game.
The Real Whacker.
And the Real Whacker.
Times two.
Can I also do the Real Whacker?
You can do, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'll lump in, hey.
It's free.
So there's 2 tips for Real Whacker, boys.
Bet your month's wages on it.
It's a cert.
So
get your bets on.
I think...
gotta be in at the winners.
I think we need to go back to the ponies, though. I had a good time. It was a good day.
I'd love to go to Cheltenham. I'd love to go to go to Cheltenham
next year. Hey, wedding's over.
More fun
with
the
3 man.
More fun.
Do you want a wee tidbit here?
Oh,
go for it.
It's a slightly off topic. It's still about horse racing, but it's not Cheltenham. It's the Melbourne Cup in 1993. It was the highest ever betted on a horse.
How much was that?
It was $1.6 million. But after talking to the jockey, he added an extra $3 million onto the bet.
4.6?
4.6 million.
Did he win?
Did it win?
Of course, it won.
Fuck.
What price was it?
What was the odds?
He got 20, he won 20 million.
Jesus Christ.
What was that then?
So that's roughly about what? 5 to 1?
6 to 1.
About 5 to 1.
Yeah.
So it's
4.6. Oh yeah, 5 to 1. No,
so it's actually him. 4 and a bit to 1.
Wow.
But yes.
The boys standing in Galway were unreal. Like the way they were standing under the underrails and they were just yelling. And then the thing. And then I remember
I've never seen boys do math as quick. Yeah.
I remember sitting with you at one stage and I was looking up and there was this horse and I was like, I'm gonna go put a bet on that. And it was like 6 to 1. And the next minute, me and him were sitting chatting. And the next minute, I went like to something like ridiculous. Like I think it was like 9 or 10 to 1.
That's the fun of the race.
Shay just went. Shay just went. No.
I don't get the price changes, but I think like when you're standing there and like the square and it's all you're looking
watching everything. You're trying to watch. Like,
I love the way
screen.
There's like all the different bookmakers around, so like, you're sort of looking to try and get the best price, and then the fucking atmosphere. Like,
it's unreal. Yeah. Like that day coming over the line, pissing down, but it was good crack. Like.
But the first year we went to Galway was unreal. Were we down
by the track? Was it that race that we were down by right beside the finishing post? I was at the first race, it could have been it. Or I was down by the finishing post, and like once it's coming to the end of it, and there's maybe like a couple of furlongs out, and you start hearing the like galloping on the horses and the ground, the whole fucking it feels like the whole stadium's vibrating. It's fucking unbelievable. Like, and then the roars coming over the line. Like,
there class. You go. Well. We'll be paying attention anyway, and if you're listening along to this, pick your own horse.
Giddy
see
up,
who wins.
Giddy up.
But anyway, we will end the podcast there. Thank you very, very much for listening. If you want to chip into the discussion, drop us a DM, send us an email, comment on anything.
Bet on.
Arne has just placed a bet live
Arne
on the podcast.
6K on us.
1.6 million.
Yeah.
Here's the crack. We do not condone betting.
Exactly. When the fun stops. Stop. if you have anything to contribute to the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. This is what the podcast is all about, and we might bring up another topic in the next one. Who knows? But anyway, as in we might rehash the topic.
We're just going to end it there.
We'll end it there. I'm having a
stroke. Podcast might contain talking. It also might be silence.
But anyway, keep her lit. Cheerio.
Outer tight.